passing through.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on this beautiful, beautiful day. So I'm just a shout out to Benny before we get started. How are you, Mr. B?
Howdy, Pat. Being pretty good.
And today we have a little different format for all of you out there. We are not streaming on Facebook today, but we are live streaming across YouTube on 1150 KKNW, and also we will be able to pull that and put that up on our YouTube as well as Facebook. And so there we go in a bold new world. You know, what is the question really that at least I've been coming up with recently? What is that question? What is the question when I think about what is it in any given day that will get me off my wheel, right? Have you ever noticed that here you are, you're really rolling, you're stable. It's like riding a bicycle. You know, you get those training wheels, and there you go. And somehow, somebody in your family decides, wow, she's ready for like one training wheel. So they take one wheel off, and then you have this other training wheel. And what's interesting about that is that you get on this bike and you've got your little training wheel. By the way, Benny, mine were big training wheels. I don't know what you did the kids today. Did your boys have training wheels?
We did for just a little bit. I felt like they just got in the way, and we just went to the park and we just started out on the lawn. So if they did kind of topple over, which they did, it was soft landing, and they picked it right up.
Soft landing.
Yeah, right.
I love it. But back in the day, right, you know, they gave you these, I'll never forget these training wheels. It's really interesting when I think about my childhood and I think about this. And I had this moment this morning where I woke up and what I realized is that, you know, this life journey, right, and what we have in our destiny and say yes to. And I made this bold announcement last week or maybe this week that my feeling was that this week represented the power of yes. And I gave about five different examples. The question really is, what was the energy that fueled that for me? What was it that fueled it? And what is it that we know if you're fueled in a way of that level of self-discovery, and that was self-discovery for me. It was waking up on Monday and just stepping into the studio and looking at all the yeses that were showing up. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. New people. You know, three people that we interviewed for producers, and we didn't really think all three of them would be a yes, but we held it in our consciousness and we came in. And even one of the folks that was highly unlikely to say yes, boom, yes, yes, yes. But what was the energy that started that? You know, was it the fact that I had so many people talking to me about astrology and about the blood moon in my sign? Was it that? Was it a new understanding or a new energy about knowing that you're fully aligned with your purpose? But what is it? What is it that we can learn now, deeply learn, practices we can deeply learn, deep states that will bring us to that place regardless of crazy town going on the outside? See, because it's one thing to be able to be, oh, I'm in self-discovery now, and then you wake up and something externally happens, and all of a sudden you're in crisis. Today, we are going to be talking with Dr. Keith Lowenstein about Lowenstein or Lowenstein, Keith?
Lowenstein.
I got it right the first time, didn't I?
You did, yes.
Very my New York. That's got to be my New York. We're going to be talking with Dr. Keith about what we can learn through a detailed guide. And we're going to talk about some basic techniques, but more importantly, we're going to be talking about why, how, and what about what he's bringing forward in a form of yoga we're going to talk about that will get us to that place where we can help ourselves physically, mentally, And I will have to say for me, Dr. Keith, you can talk about it spiritually. Because if I am lined up with my yes and an internal knowing that is free from doubt, that is free from guilt, that is free from shame, if I can open my breath every day with that, everything is a yes. And what I mean by that is it's not good, it's not bad, it just is. Dr. Keith, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's very, very nice to be here. Thank you for having me. This is a wonderful program you provide.
Thank you. I have to talk about you for a minute if I could. And I love that I'm going to talk about you. Because you and I are probably, well, I'll speak for myself. I'm one of the most unlikely people to be talking with you. But when we look at our backgrounds, board certified in psychiatry, integrative medicine, study of mind-body, interface, oh, wow, when I was back burning my bra, training with, so you understand we're probably come from the same place back then, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you get it. Training, I want to ask you this question, because I've often looked at the 70s for me and then the 80s for me, and I looked at that with you. I want to know what happened in your evolution. What happened in your evolution to guide you from the vast and deep knowledge of psychiatry into the mind-body interface? And I, when you say 71, all I can think about is Herbert Benson and training in transcendental meditation. And then in 1980, tell me what pulled you forward in the evolution of Dr. Keith.
Well, I was always drawn to the contemplative traditions. I think nature was a very big pull for me, even though, you know, I grew up in a metropolitan area. I think we're, I mean, since we're from a similar age, there was a big influence on the availability of Eastern traditions in the late 60s, early 70s, and so you mentioned TM. So I first got training in TM in 72, I think, and you know, and I practiced and you know, slowly made my way, and I serendipitously met my teacher Ganesh Baba, formerly known as Sri Mahan Swami Ganeshanandagiri. And, you know, it was interesting for you when you started out talking this morning about, you know, being maybe pulled off our center.
Yeah.
If, you know, there's a lot going on and how some techniques can keep you centered.
Yeah.
So how did I stay with this particular practice? Well, I ended up spending some time with my teacher, and not a very long amount of time. It was, you know, maybe it was a month or so, and but there was some intense time. And we're in New York City, and I'm out doing, you know, the chores of the day, and I'm walking through Midtown and doing some of these practices, and I'm feeling as if, you know, I've just been in British Columbia for a month.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, wow, there's really something to this. And that is how I ended up sticking with it and pursuing it. So it was really actually my practice of Kriya Yoga that brought me to medicine and then psychiatry. It was not, you know, the other way around. I ended up taking an anatomy and physiology class to help me teach Kriya Yoga meditation better. And from there, I ended up going to medical school.
The thing I love about this is tracing back those moments. And this is why I wanted you to talk about it today a little bit. Because, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've been thinking about what this pathway has become. And really looking at this for myself in a lot of ways. I've been asked by a number of people, you know, write a book, write a book. And it's made me really go introspectively. about, I don't really have anything to say, that kind of thing. Like, I like interviewing you. I love your book. I love to talk about this. That's what I love. But it's had me go back. And I want to ask you this one question, and it is from Practices of Deep States. It is from your book. And one of the things I want to talk about is the path. And what I loved about this is how powerful a practice can be. And what I mean by that is the absence of a practice, and we're going to talk about the practices in your book. We're going to talk about meditation. We're going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about yoga, but we're going to talk about the transformative energy and power of it. I like to talk about it as transmutation because, and let me ask you this, because you and I are talking about walking the streets of New York with a practice, and we're going to get into what the practice is, walking the streets of New York and have an epiphany. And as I was talking this week, I want you to comment on this and really talk about what the importance of these are. Being homeless at 17 and not having clothes and feeling dirty and seeing three people dressed in white outfits with tambourines on a street corner in, right? Back in the day,
sure,
right?
Sure. Yes,
on a street corner, boom, 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 maybe in the West Village, probably not uptown, but probably in the West Village. As I come out of Cafe Wa after listening to Bob Dylan, and here I am in the early stages of the novelty of homelessness, the freedom of it before you realize you have no money and no place to sleep. And I see these three people, and all I think about is, I need clean clothes. I end up with them, mm-hmm. Clean clothes. But what happened to me in that short period of time transmuted something. Can you talk about what this opportunity is for us to be able to transmute, to change, even the most horrific states that we may be seeing on the outside, Dr. Keith? Because I think when I'm reading your book and I'm reading about the power of this, we need this now.
Yes. Yes, we do. We do need this now. And there seems to be, you know, an openness for it now. You know, I've people who know me, there's been availability for it for many years, but there certainly is more interest now, and people seem to be coming with the energy and intention to practice. So it's practice that's important, right? It's finding a practice that resonates with you. You know, that you can have some affinity to and really begin to engage, but then doing it and doing it and doing it like any skill. You know, you might love to hear piano music, you know, and you might learn a chord or two or three and have fun with it. But unless you really stick with it every day, then, you know, how then it becomes a symphony. And then, wow, so much more with it. I'm assuming that it was the Hare Krishna movement that you were talking about.
It was. Believe me, I didn't know it was a movement. But the reason I'm bringing it up, and I want to really jump into your book, is because sometimes things are put in front of you. When I started to talk about the power of yes this week, I have gone back and remembered that I have had in my life an innate ability to tap into that. I mean, why would I be attracted to these three people, which ultimately they saved my life, albeit for a short period of time?
Sure.
They saved my life. But I was introduced to something that seemed so odd to me, but was so powerful that it became a way for me to guide my life. And even though stepping away from it, you never forget that understanding. And I want to ask you, as we look at what you're talking about and what you share with us in the book about this form of yoga, I want to ask you this question. What are the tenets of this, for this practice, or the practices in your book, and the origins of it that could bring us to a place of peace and freedom?
Well, the there's a few basic practices, and we can touch on them all. And one, one is really the what you had exposure to, which with the Hare Krishnas was a repetitive chant, which can be so powerful. And I myself ended up cooking once for about a week with them in a in a campsite, and oh my goodness, you know, I was 16, 17 maybe at the time.
Right.
Yeah. And oh, you know, it really held a lot. And so the, what's unique about Kriya and what's unique about what Ganesh Baba did with Kriya is he tried to distill it down to its most simplest form and then kind of, you know, jazz it up a little bit so it's a little bit of an accelerated path, you know, if you follow it. So there's four pieces to it. There's a posture piece, and it corresponds to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And if you look, that is really the classic manual for yoga. And if you look at that, Kriya Yoga is the only yoga that is mentioned in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras.
Yeah.
And so there's posture, there's breath work, there's sensory retraction, kind of shifting your awareness to inside so that your five senses are more focused inside. And then there's the incorporation of abstraction or kind of a paying more attention to the vibrational qualities of life, like you were talking about before.
Yeah.
And it's the mantras, the repetitive. You know, if you're a religious person and you go to church, you know, and you have a particular line of a prayer that means a lot to you, that repetitive cadence coupled with those other exercises. And what happens is as you learn each of these, and they each can be explored very, very deeply and played with in lots of subtleties, once you get them all working together, then you move into a meditative state. And so what is a meditative state? It is really just a new state of consciousness, a super consciousness, so to speak, in the waking state, kind of that you can compare to the subconscious state of sleep. Right, so we all know how to go to sleep most of the time, right? So we right. But so how do we move toward meditation? It's really no different. We just have to learn. We're learning how to use the different parts of our nervous system in a new way. So by focusing it in these different ways, our brain starts to talk within itself differently, just like when we go to sleep.
Yep.
But then we're in this other state, and meditation, and that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Then you go from there, and there's a tremendous amount to explore. Someone asked me a question the other day. We were taking a walk in my neighborhood. We were talking with some neighbors, and with COVID and all those things going on. They said, yeah, so what do you do for stress? What do you do? And I said, oh, you know, I have a meditation practice. And they said, oh, yeah, I tried that. You know, they also can remember the 70s, right? So they're, you know, they said, oh, yeah, I remember, but yeah, I didn't keep that up. And, you know, just spontaneously out of my mouth came, yeah, you know, and it just becomes more interesting as I continue to practice and get older. So it really is. You know, it really is a practice that is rich and grows, and you continue to get insights at all stages of your life, because at each stage of our development, we view the world differently.
But when we're talking about Kriya Yoga, when we're talking about this and what you brought forth in the book, what I loved about this is a reminder, and this is what got me to remember. It's when you talked about, and you put a chart in your book, and the chart in your book talks about the roots and the fundamentals. And what I was reminded of is as I looked at this chart and I look at let me just call it a spectrum because for lack of a better word.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to tell you, spectrum is on my mind right now. And I'll share that story during the break. But I looked at this and I thought, why am I not doing this every day? What is it that gets in the way of our fundamental ability to connect within, which I believe is the resulting other 93% of our brain we're not using. It's not, we're not going to get that from over here. I personally believe it's got to be from what we learn inside. And I went to think about this, and you know what hit me? And maybe you can touch upon this. When we're talking about Kriya Yoga, there's an aspect of spirituality that is so important, and so important for us to remember. And yet, what you talk about in the book is the body, it's the mind, it's the breath, it's the physical movement, it's the way we sit. How do all of things, when combined, create that sweet spot of peace? That's my language. Sorry if I kind of overlaid that with your stuff.
Oh, no, it's perfectly fine. I mean, language is part of the problem with some of this stuff.
It is for me.
Yeah, you know, you have to be able to accept other people's descriptions and just try to understand what people are talking about, because all of our human experience is the same. And these states are the same regardless of what religion you or spiritual tradition you come from. And these practices, and the breath is very important, and I'll come back to that in a second, but, you know, these practices are really ubiquitous to all the mystical traditions throughout Eurasia. So that the whole spectrum, they probably started, you know, right now in the border between India and Pakistan and spread both ways. But you look at old Persian practices, the Kabbalah, the mystical Christian practices, Buddhism, all the deep states use very, very similar techniques, and they're just all called something different. But why is posture and breath the basics, and posture the most important? So maintaining your posture really at all times in waking states. Without maintaining your posture correctly, your central nervous system has its own challenges, but you can't breathe. You can't breathe, not fully. In order for you to have a full breath, your lungs come all the way up to your clavicle. Hardly anybody breathes up there.
No.
Because why? Because it's much worse these days, because everyone's kind of hunched over on their phone or their computer. You know, but
walking across the street, Dr. Keith, I mean, you know, I started to do my own behavioral study and had to abandon it because I had too many subjects that are walking across the street like this.
Yeah. So if you sit straight, then your ribs can move up and down, and they can expand when you breathe. And your breath is so important. So in the Indian meditative traditions, they use the term prana. The qi is used in Chinese medicine, and many traditions have a word for that, life energy. Well, that's in our breath. And if you can really learn to appreciate the breath, which you can once you start to improve your posture, it's so powerful. And what it does is it goes directly to your brainstem, directly to the oldest part of the brain that everything else is built up around. And why are we stressed? All the stress aggravates our stress response. That's all deep in the brain, in the primitive part of the brain. But our breath is a direct link to that part of the brain. So, you know, it's hard to sit there for most people and decrease their rate of digestion or change their heart rate. But boy, they can sure change how they breathe. And that affects that whole system, that whole autonomic nervous system. And you hear people today talk about the vagus nerve and the polyvagal theory and things like that. This is the master technique to work with that whole system. So by using your breath, you can affect the state of your whole system. And then you can start to use your concentration, and you go within, and you get to experience whole different levels of awareness that are there, but we just can't tune into them. Think of it as an old radio.
Yeah.
So we're on a new type of radio now, right? So remember the old radios.
I have an old radio here. As a matter of fact, during the break, I'm going to go pick this thing up. It's like an antique. I'm going to go, Benny, during the break, I'm going to try to go get this radio here and pick it up. We're on a new radio.
Yeah. So the old radios have an antenna and a dial. right? Yeah. And you remember, you turn the dial to bring the, to get rid of the static.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing at Kriya Yoga. We are learning to tune up our body-mind machine so that it works in optimal operational order, so that it can tune into all these other subtle energies that are there. What is intuition? What is spiritual experience? You know, what are those things? They're there. Why aren't we feeling them all the time? They're always there.
That's the question.
Well, we're not paying attention.
We're not, and that's why I started the show talking about how I started the week. And as the week went on, and I started to read your book. I read the books, by the way. So when we come back from break, what I want to talk about is moving into the pranayama as an art and a science. I want to move into that because one of the things I love is that if we are reminded of how to make that adjustment, just like you learn when you take off that first training wheel on the bike,
yeah.
You learn to make an adjustment as a kid that quickly, that intuitively, right? What is it that we can learn from this to implement now? Because I want to talk with you about the power of joy. And I mean it's a power for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when I'm in that place, it doesn't matter what's falling down around us. You know, right now we are in this phase where we are capitalistic balance control of my checkbook. We're so mindful of what is there and what's not. And for some people, they need to be. There are people right now, and I know this, that just don't understand how we got there. And they don't have access to the tools that you and I have. That's why we do shows like this, because maybe somewhere, someday, somebody will listen to this and understand that there's something that they can change. You know, let's go to break. One of the most influential moments, other than dressing up in white, chanting, hitting a tambourine as a young kid, the reminder I got was when Tina Turner agreed for them, and I think she agreed, for them to do a movie about her life.
Mm.
And most of the movie was so difficult to watch, except the ending. And watching her chant, you know, watching Tina Turner chant and remembering that chant and not even knowing the power of that. And then moving along, Dr. Keith, and having one of the people join our network, Sarah Main, who taught and teaches ancient Sanskrit, the language of confidence. She is an expert renowned in the world. Celebrities call her to say, can you give me the correct Sanskrit? And working with her and then realizing everything you're talking about, everything available to us, doesn't even cost money. When we come back, art, science, and I want to say for Dr. Keith, this is a time of action. This is a time of action. This is a time when your mind starts to tell you you're not enough. You're really not destined to do what you think you want to do, even if it's like if you want to bake cakes, you bake that cake. This is the time now to learn new tools. When we come back, Dr. Keith is going to walk us through what some of those tools are, what we can do now, and the power of joy. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
To lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformation, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Papasili, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, Dr. Keith, let's stop for a moment. I want to make sure everybody knows, and Benny, I'm going to do this because you're going to get it on YouTube, right? Oops, oopsie, right there. See that? Right there. That's a fabulous book I'm referring to. Practices for Deep States of Meditation, Kriya Yoga for Self-Discovery. Before I go ahead, Dr. Keith, this is one body of work, one conversation you have. There is more to you. How do we find out the more to you? Where do we go?
Well, there's a website, kriyabreath.com, and that has a background about the book, the teachers, the lineage, and there's also classes that we offer online at this point in time. And so you can keep, if you want to be in touch, that's a way to get in touch is through that website. I'm a practicing psychiatrist also in Portland, Oregon, that has a different website. My practice is called Human Holistics with an S on the end, so it's humanholistics.com. And we have an integrative mental health practice where I utilize a lot of different modalities, including acupuncture.
I got to comment on that. Can I?
Sure. Go ahead.
I got to take my hat off to you about that. I'm really thrilled about it. I don't know if, I don't know who I want to give credit to for starting this. I don't know if it's Herbert Benson from Harvard and those people that came out of there and said, we're going to meditate. And, you know, in the School of Psychiatry, right? I don't even know where to go with that. Here's what I want to say. I wish my field, psychology, would catch up to you guys. You know, when I graduated in 2001, two things happened. The head of my department, Tony Standing, with what he thought was crystals, and banned me from any of the students working with me. They weren't crystals. They were thunder. I mean, seriously, this is the school of psychology. This is how we are trying to evolve. And then I went to practice in Washington State. And I discovered I couldn't use the word spirituality or astrology. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do clinical psychology. I'm walking away from that, even though I would love to help people. And I shifted to a neurocognitive frame. And what it did was change my perspective. Here's my question for you, Dr. Keith. Help us understand the power of the art and science of this and how it does change perspective.
Yes. And let me comment that psychology also has their pioneers. And so I'm not sure where you were that feedback, but there are plenty of psychologists going back many, many, many years.
Yep.
Many, many years. I mean, you know, that have talked about spirituality. And Herbert
it's
Benson.
Changed.
Yes, yes. But, you know, it's you know, over 100 years that psychology has been writing about it. But, you know, it goes back and forth. The pendulum changes, right? So, but these practices do affect your neurology. And that is what we're playing with. We are playing with your, you know, brain. And your brain includes your spinal cord, which is why the posture piece is important also, right? So it goes, your brain is floating in water. Your brain is floating in water. It has water inside it, so it's filled with cerebral spinal fluid. That goes inside. There's ventricles. There's water-filled areas in the middle of your brain and around your spinal cord and even down through the middle of your spinal cord. So the nervous system is also covered with something called dura, which is, you know, a thick fascial substance that itself is alive. Everything inside us is alive. And as we start to decrease, as we start to balance, first posture and then breath, the static and the stress and strain of these things, these calm down a little bit. And your system begins to look at itself. So you're going to the deep still point within, which is no different than what people think of as God or the, you know, the ultimate.
Yeah.
And so that is the moment where people get, you know, a real deep epiphany, you know, like you were talking about before, where, wow, you know, there's really not much separation here. And that is always available to us. So Kriya Yoga was brought to this country by Paramahansa Yogananda. And
yeah.
He wrote a very popular book, Autobiography of a Yogi, that I think for people, you know, probably a decade older than me, really, it had profound influences on many. And people still read it. It still is popular. So he spoke about the brain and the spinal cord as the altar of God.
Yes.
You know, and really, and you know, what is that? Really, to use your word peace before, you can just, you know, switch those two. It's the altar of peace. It's the altar of joy. It's how you allow your nervous system to experience its innate state of joyfulness.
I love this conversation with you, and I know we've got a short time left because I'm going to fast forward. There are certain things that I am a student of. I'm a student of your work. I don't claim to understand the details. That's why I'm so fascinated and curious by it. But I love the idea of waking up every day and choosing my neural pathway. Isn't that the weirdest statement you can make? I mean, people say, "Oh, create your day." I'm like, "No, I want to choose my neural pathway for today." And I, to be honest with you, I don't know what it means, and I'd like to hear, am I going to choose it? What if I choose this?
Well, you know, I would don't get too caught up in your choice. I would let your nervous system choose.
That's it.
Yes. And so, But in order to do that, you have to give it space and time to do that. So what you have to do, and the most important thing to do, is to figure out a time, preferably first thing in the morning, where you can go and sit and have some time for your system to adjust. You know, and it has to be ideally every day at the same time. And that's where the intention comes. Yeah. You have to have some intention and desire to go down a path of looking within. And so if you, you know, practices can be very simple. 3 minutes, 5 minutes of some basic yoga activities. And then you sit. Then you do maybe 2 or 3 minutes of more active pranayama or breath exercises. And then you let everything settle, and you watch. Now, granted, it can be more complicated, and you can push it a little further, but that's the basics, and you can really go from there. And why do you do breathing exercises? You know, you're looking to wake up your respiratory system. Your respiratory system has developed some bad habits. It knows. Your body knows how to do these things. It's all inside. You just have to give it the ability to move forward. And once you get on a practice, you know, everything will be taught to you, you know, one thing after another. You know, it comes. You know, you can get some help from this person or that person who crosses your path, and the right people will cross at the right time and just kind of give you a nudge here and there. But it's really, you know, your work and your journey. And all you really have to do is show up.
I love this. I want to talk with you about the book that you wrote, not yesterday, by the way. Probably this book has been in the works for a while, but the delivery of it has never been more timely. Before we do that, Benny, I would love to start to give copies of the book away. We have three of them. And I want to say this to all of you is, as I was reading through this book, what Dr. Keith does for me personally is he helps and guides us through practices, but explains the brain, the spinal cord, and what it does. And some of us may need to look at that and say, oh, if I do this, this is going to hit my body. I love this about the book. But more importantly, there are ways to refine the techniques, you know, and there's a beautiful history you lay out and a pathway and a journey to this. And that's why I said, I don't know when you started to write the book, but the delivery is timely. 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. Copies of the book. Benny's got it. Okay. May I read?
Sure.
All right. Okay. I'm going to jump ahead. We talk about trauma in the book, but you also talk about returning to balance. Now, I don't know what planet anybody else lives on, but if we're not going to really address the trauma of the past 18 months and every level of it and get people tools, this is the kind of stuff that stays in everybody's cell for a really long time. I want to ask you about the timeliness of your book and the call to action to heal a world. See, isn't this the first time in history that the world has been affected by something equally devastating? Not Nazi Germany, not World War II, not something in the Pacific. But for a long time, we haven't had a global shock to our system. Can you talk about the power of these practices to heal?
Well, trauma really goes deep, deep, deep to the back to that autonomic nervous system. But that's where a lot of trauma gets held. So especially when, you know, there's chronic stress, and that leads to a different type of dysregulation. But when there's kind of unspeakable things that happen or such a shock, and, you know, for some people, some of the events of, you know, the last half a dozen years have had that effect on them. There's different types of memories that kind of get set up. I mean, you have thoughts, but there are body memories also. And often what happens with trauma is those just don't get integrated. And by incorporating breath work and deep states of relaxation, those can get a little more integrated. And it allows you to feel into those places. So this is, This is an experiential practice. This isn't, oh, you know, go try these things and do it for 10 years and everything will be fine. No, sit. You want an experience now. You know, we want you to feel different now in 10 minutes. And then you're like, oh, I see what's here. And then you can start to follow that. And then you have that at your disposal at any time. So the more you practice it, the more at your disposal it is. And you can spend 30 seconds of your day refocused and calm things down again. Plus, it gives you the ability to reflect. Another very important piece of contemplative practices is being able to contemplate. You know, so, you know, we worry, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? What should I do now? Well, when you get into deep states and you can have some ideas just sitting there and you can observe them maybe for what they are, that's very different than trying to make a decision on something. And insights come. And so for people to spend more time in those states, and as they spend more time in those states, they're much less reactive. They influence everybody they interact with.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about simplicity for a moment and power. And I've joked about this a lot. Benny has heard me talk about it. It's interesting. If I play a sport, right? One of those sports you learn at a community center in the Bronx. It's called ping pong, better known when you play it competitively as table tennis. And what's fascinating is if I look at my partners, I play singles, but of course I have partners. And we're really quite good. I mean, we're state champions here, okay?
I bet you are.
But here they are. And this is what I love about it. When you pick partners that are of different, let's call it spiritual backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. Basically, I'm the only white person, just to be clear. You learn some things. You learn some things about a Hindu tradition. You learn that in the middle of a tournament, you step back and you om. And you don't care if people are laughing at you. But what happens is when you get back to that spot to play, that very small action changes energy. Can we talk for the time we have left about what I don't think we talk enough about when it comes to yoga, and it comes to this, when it comes to self-discovery, is our abilities as human to change our energy fields despite what's going on.
So that is really ultimately what any of these practices are about. They are energetic practices. So first you have to be able to start to appreciate your own energies. But it's not so much that you are deciding to change your energy. You know, the practice does that by itself, which is why I ended the last when I was talking was, yes, so if you have a practice, your vibration is different. And that affects other people. It is the most powerful thing you can do. And it will affect, you know, everyone you interact with that day and everyone else they interact with that day. And it just moves out, just like a vibration. Just like you drop a pebble in the pond and you watch the ripples go out. So it's a positive influence that you have. So not only if you do these practices are you helping yourself, but you're really helping everybody else to be able to have a little bit more joy and connection in their life.
Hmm. Dr. Keith, first of all, let me thank you. And my thank you is not just for the book. You know, it's thank you for being a voice. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot, and I'm going to ask you about this. In my meditation, albeit short, I have a meditation, I have a mantra. And most people say to me, geez, Pat, that's kind of boring. That's your mantra? You say that 70 times a day for 70 days? And I say, yeah, and by the way, it works. But I've learned to ask a question in my meditation. And I ask the question, what is mine to do today? I don't know why that question. I don't know where it came from. And for the past 2 years, I have been given one word. More. Now, some days I get do the laundry, wash the dishes, cut the grass. But I get the message more, and I never question it. I know what that means. Can you help us in these few minutes that are left? Talk to how there's a knowing that happens. It's hard for me to put into words. There's a knowing. And until somebody starts to question you about it and you try to explain it with words and language, and that's where you really get messed up, but there's a knowing. Talk about how these practices help us connect with that.
Well, again, it's balance, right? It's balance and and allowing everything to settle and moving to stillness. But, you know, so you mentioned that you have a practice. So, you know, Kriya Yoga isn't suggesting people change their practices. But in my experience, this form of Kriya is a foundational practice. So if you continue to do exactly what you do, but just sit straighter and maybe spend a few minutes with breath work before you do what you do, the power of your practice will likely increase. You know, what is prayer? This is the physiology behind prayer. And so all these experiences are ineffable, right? There are volumes written by people over a millennial of the millennials who have had spiritual experiences, and everyone talks about them a little different. And you know, you can learn. But, you know, one of the Kriya teachers in the lineage I come from, and I've had the great fortune of interacting with a variety of teachers over the years, although with Ganesh Baba, I pretty much spent a better part of 5 years mostly living with him. But one of the things that they'll say is, you know, you can read, you know, that's all fine, but it's all in the practice. That's what it's the experience. It's the practice. Don't get lost in reading this and reading that and doing this and doing that. It's the practice. Certainly fine to read a little bit, but come back to the practice. It's the practice. Find a set of practices and practice those practices.
Dr. Keith, thank you. I know we talked about a lot, and I know there is so much we have not talked about, and I want to spend the last couple of minutes asking you the question, you know, here we are, here's your fabulous book. Again, let folks know how we can find out more about you, and, you know, what are the things you want to leave us with? Perhaps something we've talked about, perhaps not, but thank you for today. So please let folks know how to get a copy of the book and how to find out more about you.
Well, the book is available in wherever you buy your books or publications. It's published by Inner Traditions. And the website is kriyabreath.com. And I guess what I would like to leave people with is to realize that we are all part of nature. Nature is probably the strongest thing for us. In fact, the way to really connect with spirit is through nature. It is the greatest teacher. So wake up in the morning, look outside, look at the sky, connect with a tree, find a tree that you talk to every day. Make sure that you connect with nature and connect that with your practice, and find a practice. Find something that you do where you start to reflect inside, and it will change your life.
Dr. Keith, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the help you provide. And again, one more time, please give out those websites that you've mentioned.
KriyaBreath.com. So Kriya, K-R-I-Y-A, breath.com. You can find more about the book and about Kriya and about the lineage. And I hope that helps some people. So
yeah.
This is...
And about the classes, because I was looking at the classes you are offering as well. I know you've already started one, but please talk about the fact that people can even connect with you to learn. And I,
yes.
think that's what we need.
Yeah, no, people can connect. I mean, the book is supposed to be, you know, the book is really a little bit of a manual.
Yeah.
You know, but certainly, you know, I am available through that website, and about every few months I start up another class that runs about, you know, six, seven weeks or so, and we go through each piece. I try to work one-on-one with everyone in the class as well, and we go over all the practices, and we practice each class. Mm-hmm. There's practice as part of each class, and yeah, so that is available, and if you're in the Portland area, you know, then there's the ability to connect, you know, in person, too. So.
Can we jump in now, even though it started June 5th?
Potentially, yes. If there's some, there might be a little room left, for,
okay.
Especially if you read the book. Yeah.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound over on I-90 eastbound near the off-ramp to 900. Looks like a recent collision, partially blocking the ramp there. Good thing medical aid, fire assistance, and response teams have arrived on scene. We are taking care of that situation. Also on State Route 527 northbound, just north of 129th Place, southeast, another incident, partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing DOT crews and patrol are arriving as well as the motorists. Stay tuned, coming up next. After the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Live the Good Life Radio Show with your host, Sabrina Wright, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Topic for the show, a new wave of wellness. Special guest, Sherry Tennessee. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Three people are dead after a shooting at a South Florida grocery store. It happened inside of Publix in Royal Palm Beach. The county sheriff's office tweeted an adult male, adult female, and a child were killed. The shooter is among the dead. A heavy police presence remains on the scene. President Biden's first foreign trip of his presidency is underway as he meets with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The President and First Lady Jill Biden greeted Johnson and his wife in Cornwall. His topics will include the global fight against the coronavirus and U.S. efforts to distribute vaccines around the world. The President will then take part in a G7 summit in the U.K. before his face-to-face meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva next week. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. military must always be ready.
The Department must be ready to meet and keep pace with our competitors, and if necessary, to fight and win the next war.
Testifying in a Senate budget hearing, Austin identified China as a key area of ongoing concern at the Pentagon. Austin cited efforts to boost cybersecurity and said the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan is on track. The top economist from the University of Colorado is tamping down fears of inflation as the U.S. comes out of the pandemic. Dr. Richard Wobekin says some movement in the numbers may be a positive thing.
Finally getting them up to a 2 or 3% range over some sort of time horizon is probably a good thing, and especially related to wage growth in the economy.
As far as the overall economic recovery, Wobekin sees the gross domestic product numbers returning to pre-pandemic levels in the next couple of quarters. The former United Auto Workers president is going to prison as part of a corruption probe. Gary Jones was sentenced to more than 2 years behind bars for his role in a conspiracy that led to the union being defrauded of millions of dollars. Jones apologized before he was sentenced as he said he failed the union and his family. 7-Eleven is bringing back free Slurpees this July if you join their loyalty program. The month-long giveaway is part of the convenience store's 94th birthday celebration. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, break time? I know you. I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. I try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
Let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Thursday. We'll see partly sunny skies to start the morning out, turning to mostly cloudy skies and rain showing up later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 66, 67 degrees. Tonight, clouds with a chance of rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 53. For Friday, running up into the weekend, more clouds and showers expected. High temperatures hovering in the low 60s, but increasing to the low 70s this weekend.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein's Pulse of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get ready to uncover, develop, and celebrate the greatest you you can be. Welcome to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Sabrina is a holistic health and wellness advocate, consultant, encourager, and therapist, here to help you dive into self-care so you can be your own greatest advocate. Could you use a little direction? Sabrina takes a holistic, multifaceted approach. No part of your well-being is left behind. We all want to feel healthy, happy, and whole. So let's get to it. The Live the Good Life Show starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Live the Good Life Show. I'm your host today, Sabrina Wright, and today I'm super excited to have a conversation with my guest, Sherry Tennessee. Today we're talking about the new wave of wellness. And after last year, there's a new interest in wellness and the beneficial impact from adding wellness into our everyday routine. I'm sure you're wondering how to manage all of that and how to manage family responsibilities, work responsibilities, and just daily life. Well, my guest today, Sherry Tennessee, is a director of education. She has over 20 years of experience in the spa and wellness field. She's recognized as a world-class speaker, a seasoned consultant, a trainer, a wellness coach, and, if you will, a wellness mixologist. This I want to know more about, Ms. Sherry. She's also an author, and she's designed, developed, and facilitated training programs for a variety of spa locations, including Sandals Resorts International. Ms. Tennessee has a BS in biology, an MBA specializing in marketing and entrepreneurship, and recently completed a graduate program certification training in integrative health and wellness. So please put your hands together and welcome my guest, Sherry Tennessee. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, it's actually Cherie. It's the French version.
Oh, I like that even better. I love it. Cherie, I love it. So glad that you're here with me today. You know,
I'm happy to be here, Sabrina. Thank you for the invitation, and I love talking about wellness and how we can incorporate it in. So, yay.
Sure. So wellness, as many of us in the industry know, it's an active pursuit of activities, choices, and lifestyles that lead to a state of holistic health, right? And first and foremost, it's important to understand that wellness is not a passive or a static state. It's really an active pursuit. And secondly, it's holistic health that you're pursuing, right?
Absolutely. And it's really interesting. If you look at like the World Health Organization or the Global Wellness Institute and their definition, it talks about, you know, freedom from disease and infirmity and focusing on health and well-being. That definition actually is from like the 1940s when we were first being introduced to this concept of wellness. And if you go to both of those sites today, that definition is still there. And then probably about the 1980s, there was a shift of wellness that was more kind of nutrition and exercise based. And a lot of times when you talk to people about wellness, that's kind of the first thing that they really hit on is, you know, eating right, exercise. But I think that there was a great definition that came out with Travis and Ryan back in about 2004. And he did these 12 kind of paradigms of wellness. Mm-hmm. And what he started with, was self-love and responsibility. It just gives you a little bit more control and power over your own wellness. Because I think about, you know, I lived in Baltimore for 12 years, and I think about East Baltimore. I worked at Johns Hopkins University. Like, when you start talking about wellness, it has to be nutrition and exercise. That's not on their mindset. Like, they, you know, they're in a food desert, so how are you going to change your eating habits when you don't have the money and you don't have the resources? How are you going to walk your neighborhood when it might not be a really walkable neighborhood? So what other options are we giving? When you start with, it's about self-love and your responsibility to yourself, I really feel like that predicates an attitude and a mindset of, when I practice self-love, then I'm going to eat with love, I'm going to move with love, I'm going to be with love, I'm going to speak and think. And that's actually how he lays out the paradigms. He's like, when you start with this foundation, then you can build everything else upon it. And I think when we talk about wellness, like, it's not about yoga and meditation. Those are very, very beneficial. But I really do think it's an inside tool that you can enhance with outside tools.
I fully agree with you, Cherie. And what I have found in my own practice and in working with clients is that they've become very disconnected from their self. The value and worth is missing, because it's become more about pleasing others, taking care of others, and self-care has been put on the back burner.
Absolutely, and especially as caregivers, because I know you're in the industry and I've been in this industry for 20 years, and we are givers. And I saw this great quote, one of my girlfriends, Tara, sent it to me. It said, only the wounded are healers, right? So you kind of have to have some sort of brokenness, some sort of something that happened that really wanted you to be in this industry. And we do. We give, but you cannot pour from an empty vessel. And I think when we talk about wellness and that self-love aspect of it, it allows us to refill our vessel, and then that overflow can go to our clients, our family, our friends, our projects, our businesses. But if we're depleted, we have nothing left to give. Like, we're literally running on E. So self-care has to be put at the forefront, because otherwise you're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
I agree. And what's interesting is that in conversations and even in the media now, there's talk about, well, what do I have to give up? How am I gonna treat myself well? How am I going to incorporate self-love and self-care? Because I only have so much time in the day. What do I have to give up? And so we come from a mindset of lack instead of abundance. Where really what wellness and self-love and self-care is all about is not only adding to ourselves, but adding to everything we're connected to.
Absolutely. I think the other thing that's a challenge is people have a misconception. When you say wellness, it's like, oh, I'm going to go take a retreat, or when I go on vacation to the mountains or to the beach, then I'm going to practice wellness. Then I'm going to be mindful. And there's a great quote by Eckhart Tolle that one mindful breath is meditation. So if you know, when we have these crazy busy lives, you know, especially working from home, so we're teacher, we're parent, we're cook, we're cleaner, and we're boss. So we may not have that time to kind of get away, but you do have 30 seconds to sit and just take a breath in and out, to be present in the moment, to bend over and touch your toes and stretch back, or maybe go sit outside for 5 minutes. all of that is a practice in self-care, and all of that is wellness. Like, it doesn't have to be, let me put on my expensive yoga pants, or let me go to this biking class, or let me plan this two-week vacation, and then I'll do it, or that equates to it. I sit here in my chair, I take my breath, I get up in the morning, I go sit on my balcony or my deck area, I'm reading, I'm writing, I'm looking at the sun, and that is wellness because it's refilling me, it's getting me ready for my day. So I think we have to reframe wellness, that it's not something outside or a class or someplace you have to go or someplace you have to be, that it's all embodied within you, and you can practice it every day, all day, as you can.
Exactly. I love that you start your day that way.
And now my sacrifice might be getting up early, but I'm on East Coast time living in the West Coast, so I'm usually up pretty early anyway. And it does, it just kind of gets my day started in the right frame of mind. Now, it is hard because, like, you walk past the kitchen, oh, this needs to be done, and you walk past this, and oh, that needs to be done. But it is like, okay, let me go take, if it's 5 minutes, if it's 15, if I have the luxury of 30, I'm going to take it. But I'm taking that time to really build that foundation for the rest of the day. And I find the days that I don't do it are just scattered and hectic, and I'm drained by the end of the day, regardless of how much sleep I've gotten. But those mornings that I really just kind of sit down, still reading, writing, those are the days that are just bubbling over.
Absolutely. And those are the days that move at a really great pace. And there is less hiccups, there are less obstacles, and there's an even flow about the day. Truly.
Absolutely.
And I think that we've been so far removed from ease and flow that it's hard for our brains to actually connect on it. How to make that happen?
Absolutely. I really think that there is this pride in hustle and struggle. And so there was a really famous hip-hop song, Every Day I'm Hustling. And so I've changed the lyrics. I love the song. It's such a motivating song, great beat. I'm like, every day I'm aligning, every day I'm aligning, because it doesn't have to be this hustle. Like, you're working so much hard. You do need to pray and move your feet. But, you know, when you are still, like, you may say prayer is when you talk to God, and meditation is when God answers, right? So when you can get still, that early morning moment, when you get that insight and that guidance, and let me go do this, or that idea pops in your head, and let me go, you know, let me take 5 minutes to take care of that, it's amazing how those little things and that little bit of guidance can push you and propel you so much further than you pushing on this wall that's just not going to move. So we need to have another conversation, again, kind of reframing, as I said, about wellness. This whole I have to hustle, I have to struggle, that it's required for life. There is ease, there is balance, there is flow, there's generosity, there's abundance. If you open yourself up to it, that it does not have to be this daily struggle. And I know people looking at this like, oh, yeah, I'm sure she says that because she's here, she's done that. I struggle. I've hit rock bottom. I understand what that's like. I was probably 2 weeks from being homeless, but thank God for my parents. And, you know, I know as a single parent, there were some days that my son had much bigger meals than I did. So it's not this, I've never had a challenge, I've never had to struggle. I was able to focus on the light at the end of the tunnel, understand the valley that I was in, and in the words of Viola Van Zant, the value of the valley, so that I can sit here and say, yes, you can still live in East Baltimore. You can live in Southeast D.C. and still take a moment to breathe and be present and be open to the opportunities and possibilities. Like, your environment does not have to control what happens to you. It's your mind and how you approach things and how you process things, which, again, going back to that self-love and wellness, changes the conversation and it changes your trajectory.
I completely agree. I love it. And I appreciate the fact that you're speaking from a place where you have experienced the disconnect, right? And you've also experienced the work needed to to reconnect and then to invest in yourself, to fill yourself up, to love yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to experience the change in your wellness. So
absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Speak from experience.
Oh, yes. I feel like, you know, you have theory, and I'm a huge fan of theory. If you've ever been to one of my classes, I'm stating quotes and stats. But I do bring that firsthand experience. And, you know, I'm always like, God didn't bring me this far to leave me. And, like, you know, the birds are taken care of. The gators are taken care of. I lived in Florida for many years, too. You know, if they're taken care of, then I'm going to trust that I'm going to be taken care of as well. But what is it that I need to do, or what is it that I can do to help facilitate it? And I'll tell you what's really interesting. Back in 2019, I'd been in the spa industry probably about 19 years by that time, and I was working for this five-star Forbes brand as a director of spa and wellness, and I'm selling $1,000 packages, and people are coming in for massage and facials and all these wellness experiences, and I ended up in the ER due to stress. Oh. And it put such a pause on everything, and I said, I'm not living the message that I know that I should be doing. Like, you know, it's kind of like I would tell massage therapists, like, don't come and greet your client and your shoulder touches your ear, because the client is not going to listen to anything you say because you're not living your message. And I have to say, I had a real wake-up call. That was probably end of April 2019. And I said, I have to reframe this. I really have to look at it. And that was my focus from 2019. And then, of course, all of that was highlighted in 2020. I just kind of had a year in advance of how do I take better care of myself? What is it that I need to do in the moment? How do I prioritize everything that I'm doing? And again, it was just this wake-up call and this real life experience where we're in this industry and we're giving and giving and giving, but are we taking care of ourselves and living the message that we're trying to convey in those treatment rooms and, you know, in whatever locations that we are? So, yeah, the messages keep coming.
Exactly. Well, right now, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And Shereen, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how we connect the thought process, right, of wellness to self-love, and where do we go once we get that connection? Where do we go to start adding, if you will, to our lives and to our self-care wellness routine? You're listening to Live the Good Life Show. I'm your host, Sabrina Wright, and my guest today is Sheree Tennessee, and we'll be back after this message.
Everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What?
Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-889 1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Jen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
My name is Sabrina Wright, and today we're talking about wellness and welcoming you back to Focusing on Your Wellness. My guest today is Cherie Tennessee, and our lively discussion has been about wellness and self-love and how to connect it together, how to connect it to ourselves, and when we do connect it, how do we move forward? So, Sharia, I need to ask you.
Sure.
How are wellness and self-love really connected?
I mean, I felt that self-love was key to wellness. I mean, I saw this great quote, I think I was like in the right before my divorce, and it says, you attract to your level of self-esteem. And I burst into tears because it just really hit my soul. And when we practice self-love, that self-care, it changes just your DNA, I feel like, almost. When you come from this place of I'm enough and I'm worthy and I deserve it just because I woke up this morning, I deserve it, not because I'm hustling for approval or because I did this or because I did that. It is that you woke up this morning makes you deserving. And that is a really hard lesson. I'm going to be transparent here. I wasn't feeling that way probably 2 years ago, and I found a great therapist. And I said, you know, I went and I said, here's my list. Like, I want to work on my self-worth, my self-love, and showing up and knowing that I'm enough. And that has been about a year journey, and it was like peeling back all the layers. I had childhood trauma that just kind of diluted and kind of darkened my self-image, life, trying to appease and please family and friends and showing up and how people think you should show up. And if you call my mom right now, she will tell you. That's not her youngest daughter. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm moving to Miami. Yep, I'm taking your grandson to Jamaica. Oh, yeah, we're moving to Vegas. You know, but it's like I have to live my life for me. And if I get that, if I knew 2018 I was moving to Vegas, I didn't know how, I didn't know why, I didn't know how it was going to come together. But I came here in 2018 for a spa show, and I said, I think I want to live here. And things just opened up and transitioned in ways that I had no clue. And I think when you can really love yourself, then you listen to that inner voice of guidance. Now, is that mean girl in there too? Absolutely. You know, that inner critic, that, you know, that inferiority complex, all of it. But she and I sit down and we have a conversation because it serves a purpose. Like, that is, you know, to keep us safe. And, you know, it also keeps us limited, and it sometimes keeps us stuck, as you said. Okay. And I think when you really can come from that space of being enough and being deserving just because, not because of anything else you've done, then that allows you to move with just a higher grace and a higher intention and a higher space. Like,
the move that I've made, no one else understood. When I told my parents, and they're always the last to know, because they love me, and that's where that inner critic came from. I'm like, why would you do this? That makes no sense. So they're usually the last to know. But by the time I tell them, like, I know where I'm living. I know what I'm doing. Like, everything is backed up because I'm going to have to explain it and justify it. And I feel sad about that. But it gives me the time to kind of work through it. But I've leaped so many times, leaped into careers. I've leaped into countries. I've leaped into opportunities. And I've always landed on my feet.
Always.
And when you trust that, you will. So I really think when we talk about wellness, it is that foundation of self-love, which allows you to listen to that voice. It allows you to lean. It allows you to really get out of that box that sometimes we just put ourselves in, and just trusting that it's all going to work out for your highest good, which again, you know, 20 years in the industry sounds very woo-woo, but I saw this really powerful movie called Heal, the documentary, and it's all about, like, just the power of the mind and Bruce Lipton and, you know, the biology of belief and placebo. And I was pulling up some stats where placebo, I didn't even know, is between 15% to 72% effective. Just thinking that you're going to be cured cures you. So when you think this is going to be successful versus, oh, my goodness, this is going to go wrong, it just kind of changes and shifts the opportunity. And we have that opportunity to change every single day. I did a little vlog a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, some days you may wake up and pink is your favorite color, and the next day you may wake up and purple is your favorite color. It's okay to change. Like, you can evolve and grow and adapt as you need to. So.
And it's important to embrace change because if you're not moving and growing,
you're dying.
Literally, you die.
You'll die right there. And, like, there's a great quote that says, be wary of people who are standing in the same place year after year, because they're not moving forward. So when you talk about progress and the changes that you want to make, it's scary. And let me say this. I do leap, and I do change a lot. And people are like, oh, you must just be fearless. Absolutely not. I drove cross-country, and I didn't have a place to live. And it was like, oh, I'm just going to trust. I was like, I'm just going to hold this steering wheel, and I'm going to trust. It was really faith, surrender, and trust. And I literally bought a house in 3 weeks. Which is unheard of, especially in this market, but it just came together and I said, you know what? I'm not in control. What I can control is my mindset, my approach, and the steering wheel and the gas pedal. And that's what I'm going to focus on, and looking at the scenery and not focusing on the destination, but the journey.
Exactly. And quite frankly, for anybody else out there, it doesn't need to make sense for your circle of influence, for your family. Just so long as it resonates with you as an individual, that's what's most important.
Absolutely, because God put it on your heart, not theirs. And what I will also say, if you go back and look, I've gotten older, I don't know about you, I've turned into a big history buff. So, like, I love the History Channel, and I believe the day that Thomas Edison turned in the phone patent, there were three others submitted that same week.
Wow.
Right? So what that says to me is God put it on a couple of different people and was trying to see who was going to bring it to fruition. So if you get that idea, you best believe somebody else probably got that idea too. And whoever puts the wind and the effort behind it is the one who's going to make the pay. So don't be upset that you got that idea, but you were too scared to follow it and somebody else did it and brought it out.
Right?
So,
and how many times... I can say it's happened to me a couple of times where I've not followed through on it, and that's taken me a huge detour.
Mm-hmm. All the way around.
All the way around, and it's like I needed to heal from some other opportunities and some words that had been spoken over me and things like that where I allowed someone else approval to dictate my follow-through. Oh, gosh. I know, right? And so it's like a big circle.
Mm-hmm. That you could have circumvented. But I'll tell you what, there was a great study talking about people in that integrative health class. We had to do kind of a death doula, like how do you prepare for death? And there was just a lot of studies and a lot of information. That was an intense week. But the research showed on your deathbed, people were thinking more about the things that they didn't do than what they did. Those regrets of maybe I should have tried that, or maybe, you know, if I had only. And that's what's in your mind. So for me, I'm like, I'd rather leap. And even if I fail or fall or, you know, get scuffed up, at least it's not, well, what if I had tried? What would have happened if I did? And that for me, like, it makes me a little bit more comfortable leaping because I've had such success. Have I failed? Yes, but you know, I lost the business in 2009, but do I regret launching the business? Absolutely not. You know, moving to Miami, moving to the Caribbean, all of those have worked out, and it's not me sitting somewhere like, what if I had tried? So, I mean, just that little, you know, I'm not the jumper that I was. I'm definitely more of a toe dipper. But still taking that action, even if it's a micro action where you have this idea of this big, you know, dream, it can be daunting and overwhelming, right? So what is a little action you can do? Can you go research it? Can you go look at this? Can you think about this aspect of it? Can you write it down? And all of those little steps get you closer to that ultimate big goal. And it makes it a little bit less frightening and a little bit more digestible.
Absolutely. And the thing is, nothing really can happen overnight. So the thought that percolates, the joy and the next project that's percolating within inside you is going to take small, consistent steps to get you there. And before you know it, here it is. Right?
You're there.
The way that this year has just ticked by consistently, and it's going to be the middle of 2021.
And I don't know what happened, but it's what, you know, it's one of those things. And my girlfriends are so funny to me because, you know, I was talking to one the other night and I don't really have any new girlfriends. Like my girlfriends I've known for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And they all say the same thing. They're like, oh my God, when I talk to you, I get exhausted. Cause I'm like, yeah, I did 3 podcasts. I had 2 articles. But one of my girlfriends sent me this great video. He said, those who are busy, productive and joyous are more joyous, and they live 100 lives in one life.
Exactly.
Versus those who are kind of like, I don't know, like you're kind of killing yourself when you don't take those moves and those risks and kind of listen to what's in your heart. And are there times where you can't because of life and just, you know, things that are happening beyond your control? Absolutely. 2020 was a perfect example of that, right? Where things are just beyond our control. But maybe it's a dream deferred, right? It's delayed until a certain point. And I love seeing like the 97-year-old who graduated from high school, or the 71-year-old who graduated from veterinary school so he could take care of stray dogs, or, you know, all these individuals. And I myself getting ready to go back to graduate school at a later stage than probably most people in the program. Thankfully, no one has been like, why would you want to do that? Because they know I'm not going to listen, and I just don't surround myself with those kind of people. But there's not an expiration date on your dreams or your goals. Just because you are a certain age on the calendar doesn't mean that limits what your opportunities and your possibilities are. I mean, there's women that are becoming models in their 70s, and it's a dream they have carried for 50 years, right? And now is the time. So, like, even if you just can't drop everything and move cross-country like I did, and it was a tough decision, then what can you do? What research can you put in? What effort can you, you know, how can you expand your knowledge so that when that door opens, you're ready to run through it?
Exactly. Waiting does not mean you're standing still.
Absolutely not.
And people miss that. Right?
You could be that inchworm. Like, he gets to where he needs to go. It just might take a little bit longer than the rest. But there's no comparison. I feel like comparison is such a waste of energy. And when we talk about wellness, we have to put that down. We need to put down the judgment. We need to put down the comparison and embrace more like compassion and empathy. Because again, going back to that movie Heal, like those thoughts, that builds up toxicity in your body. You know, things like forgiveness versus the judgment, forgiving you for having that feeling, forgiving them, you know, for whatever they may have done or not done in your story. But, you know, it really is like, this is yours. So take care of it, and not, you can't compare yourself to someone else because you don't know what chapter they are in their life to what chapter you are. So, you know, I think the mindset and that self-love and self-actualization really, to me, is the key to wellness. And then you mentioned before the break, like, how do we bring that into our lives? And I think it's a daily practice, right? It's like bathing. Like, if you don't bathe on a regular basis.
Right, right. That's part right there. We're going to need to go to another break. But all three, I know, right? If people want to get in contact with you, how do they do so?
I'm on LinkedIn at Sheree Tennessee. I'm very active, probably more than I should be on Instagram. I'm at the Spa SOS, THESPASOS. And then they can also reach me via email. You know, we all still have those. At thespasos@gmail.com.
Perfect. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how we as individuals can incorporate into our daily lives moments of wellness, wellness activities, and just more self-love. So we'll be right back.
To get big and live your life out loud. Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the Air Machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on that, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Good Life Show. I'm your host, Sabrina Wright, and you can catch some of our past shows on my website, therightwrightbalance.com, or you can catch them on transformationtalkradio.com. And today we're talking about welcoming us back to wellness and what wellness and self-love, when they're connected, what that does for us in our lives and what wellness really means day to day. Today's guest, Cherie Tennessee, I got to thank you, my friend. And I've got to call you my friend. We have so many things that we are just so in sync with, and even our backgrounds are really relatively similar, though in different parts of the country, experiences. And as educators and students of life and coaches and advocates for wellness and health for everyone that we come in contact with, I'm just so honored and delighted to have you on the show today.
It's been a pleasure. I'm so excited. It goes so quickly.
I know, it does. A couple of things. Tell me about wellness mixologist. Where did you get that?
So, you know, I have great friends. As I said, I don't really have any new friends. And I was telling my girlfriend, well, you know, I've done massage. And I really got this, I had the wonderful opportunity of being the director of education for Sandals Resorts International Red Lane Spas. And I'm a researcher by heart. I have a BS in biology. I did cancer research at Hopkins. And I worked at MedImmune, which is now AstraZeneca. So research is just like, I love to have the information. And I was getting ready to transition to the Caribbean. I said, well, you know, what is, you know, what are they known for? What's coming so that we can incorporate that into the education, into the services? I want to be able to have that conversation. And the Caribbean was set to be like the wellness destination. That was probably back in 2014. And it really piqued my interest. So what is wellness? And then that had me exploring like the Global Wellness Institute and this whole concept of wellness travel, which is totally different than medical travel, right, where people were traveling to have wellness experiences. And what better place than the Caribbean, because you have, you know, just indigenous fruits and plants, and you have the beach and a slower lifestyle and sketchy Wi-Fi, right? So that definitely takes you away from and out of the world. And I really have had an interest in wellness probably since about 2014, and kind of looked at those definitions. I recently did an article that's kind of being processed and reviewed, and was looking at the lack of wellness for African-American women. And what's really interesting is that African-American women spend nine times more, about $1 billion, on spa wellness and beauty, or beauty and spa, right? But there's not this concept or real introduction of wellness services. African-American women also have a higher propensity for high blood pressure, trauma, PTSD, just a litany of issues that wellness practices can eliminate and reduce so that we don't have the same death rate. Like, as I was doing the research, I would literally be crying, like, oh my goodness, like one in three women have experienced some sort of childhood trauma or abuse, which leads to, thinking of epigenetics, to an increased propensity for disease, right? Because you changed your DNA, and that just puts you at a higher risk. And that's not woo-woo, that's fine. So it really just kind of made me think of, how do we make this more approachable for everyone, and especially for your highest spenders? Like, if you look at any business and you look at who your highest spenders are, that's usually who you go after first. Mm-hmm. There are not organizations going after Black women in particular to share this insight on wellness. And that kind of really led me to this path. And how do we make it approachable? How do we make it applicable? As an educator, like, I don't want to teach to the sky. Like, I want to teach it so that when you hear this lesson from 12 to 1, at 1:15, you can go apply the information that I've shared. Absolutely. So when you think about how do you bring wellness into your life, and you do these activities or you make these requests that are out of limits or out of reach, it makes it unrealistic. And I think of, and I hope I'm answering your question, but I think of Ellen Langer, who is the longest tenure professor at Harvard, and she did all these wonderful studies on mindfulness. And one of the ones that always sat with me coming from hospitality was the housekeepers, right? Like,
Those are the hardest working folks in a hotel.
Yes.
And they had high blood pressure, hypertension, heart disease. And she said, well, why is that possible? You are literally on your feet and working 8 to 10 hours every single day, physical labor. But they didn't see it as exercise. It was just a job. So she went and did the study and, like, brought them all in, really talked to them, showed them videos about how you do this lunge when you're vacuuming is exercise, and when you bend and do these squats, it's exercise, and it's this, you know, it's this type of style and that type of style. And then she came back, and their blood pressure was down. Their, you know, their propensity for heart disease had all lowered because she changed their mindset in that what they were doing is exercise. She's done the same thing with, like, an older population where she took them out. They only played music from their time. The conversation was from their time. And they came back and they moved better. They could see better. All of the things, a lot of the things that were bothering them pre were reduced or eliminated post. So when we talk about wellness, it really does go into the mindset. And we have got to get away from wellness is going to a yoga class, or wellness is going someplace or having to do something. It's really about, for that population who needs it the most, who has the highest death rate from preventable diseases, when you walk to the bus stop, that's exercise. When you sit for 10 seconds, because it might be a little tough to close your eyes on the bus because you might get gas. Let's be realistic, right? But if you can close your eyes for 10 seconds on the bus and just take, you know, a Dr. Wild breath where you breathe in for 4, you hold for 7, and you exhale for 8, that is meditation. That's going to lower your heart rate. That's going to lower your cortisol rate. That's going to, you know, it's going to put you back in balance. But it does. It starts with the mind and making it approachable and not this elite, expensive experience. Because those who need it the most, it's not being crafted for them. And that's a disservice. And so I want to take wellness to the masses, because that's who it's intended for. And there was a really great article, I told you, I'm a researcher, Global Wellness Institute talks about how a lot of these wellness modalities have been kind of crafted to the West when they actually come from the East. When you look at yoga, you know, there's roots in Egypt. When you look at meditation, when you look at chakra balancing, those things come from the East, and we've really kind of played it and made it where you have to have a certain look, you have to have a certain economic, socioeconomic status to be able to participate in it, when it was Black and brown people who created it are the same ones who are being neglected from it and need it the most. So I really want to make it so that it's not this elite experience, but you can do it no matter where you live, no matter how much you make, regardless of how you look. It is for everyone.
Exactly. And I teach an injury prevention and self-care class. And part of that class is getting people to understand that you can craft your own personal self-care kit that is with you everywhere you go. And it's not all of this equipment. It's nothing big or grand. And you can incorporate self-care in moments, in minutes, and it's just a natural addition to everyday living.
Absolutely, that enhances. And it's funny because I love the program that we did, and the last piece of it, it's actually the doctor who is, I believe it's the Wellness Institute, but it's a program that Walmart is actually putting together to incorporate wellness into just everyday life. And so one of the assignments that we had is, like, you have these clients who have these conditions. How do you address them? And, you know, they're like massage and yoga and cognitive, you know, therapy. But, again, if you're thinking about a certain demographic, they don't have access to that. So my thing was, let's talk about meditation, but let me give you a link on YouTube. Everybody has YouTube on their phone. Let's talk about yoga. There's actually a Black Girl Yoga YouTube channel that you can go to, because you want representation. Like, it's not as effective when you don't have people doing it that look like you.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, it doesn't have to have a cost associated with it for you to put it in your toolkit. Like, it can be this free YouTube link, and there's a great site, I think it's called 7 Cups, that offers, like, free mental, free therapists. Now, it's not a long stretch of time, but it does introduce you to that, because one of the things that really is the barrier, if I'm going to put food on the table and pay the rent and pay electricity, I might not have enough money to pay for this therapist, but I know I need both. Which one is going to win? Shelter is going to win over that. So having these free resources that are effective, we perish for a lack of knowledge. I actually just put that in one of my articles, is to share this knowledge that you have these tools, you have these resources that can not enhance, save your life. Then let's make sure we're sharing that information. And then that can be incorporated into a daily practice that elevates everyone. It takes us to a whole nother level of consciousness, right? It is the age of Aquarius. I did go woo-woo right there, but but it is. So, you know, you have the research, you have the passion, you have the knowledge. Let's spread it around.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it more authentically or even more passionately. I adore your message, and I adore you. And Sheree, this has been so great to have this conversation and to share these ideas and to be able to introduce you to my audience. So how can people get connected with you?
I am definitely on Instagram, probably more than I should be. It's the THESPASOS. You can also reach me on LinkedIn at Sheree Tennessee, SHERRIE Tennessee, like the state, yes, TENNESSEE. And if you want to send me an email, I am at thespasos@gmail.com.
Perfect. Today was enlightening, exciting, and I hope that everyone listening really understands that the connection is within you.
Absolutely.
So please reach out to Sheree or myself, and you can connect with me at the right, WRIGHTBalance.com, or on my Instagram page, Live the Good Life Sabrina, or on Facebook, Sabrina A. Wright. And let's get you tools and resources, and let's get you started on working toward your self-love and your total wellness. I want to thank my guest again, Sheree Tennessee, for joining me today on Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright. And we will see you next month. All right? Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a fantastic day.
Thank you for listening to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright. Tune in on the second Thursday of next month at 11 a.m. Pacific for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you invest in your best self. Find balance in your lifestyle and watch yourself evolve into who you're meant to be. For more information about Sabrina and her services, visit therightbalance.com. That's theright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss